You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Barbara Friedman. Barbara, thanks so much for being with me today.
I'm really, really thrilled you invited me to do this, Brainerd. You know, I feel badly. I really wasn't that aware of this interview series until you asked me, and since then I've been listening to quite a lot of them, and I really enjoy them. And we'll obviously continue to do so. And, you know, there are a ton of people I know that have done them in the past. So it's fun to
hear them. So glad to hear that. So what are you working on now in your studio, and where are you? You're in New York City, is that correct?
I am. I live actually, strangely, in the financial district. And I live, my studio is actually in my home. So it's an odd place for a studio, but I'm lucky that it's you know, relatively sizable, and I can work and live here. And I also teach at Pace University, and so I'm like very, very close to work. So of course, now I've been teaching remotely. So that's where I am.
And what's happening in your studio? What are you working on? And I also want to talk about this show that closed in last February, but what are you working on in the moment? What's happening in your studio?
Well, you know, because, you know, you mentioned the show that closed, it actually opened on Leap Day on February 29th, which is funny because the show is called Hauntings. And it's a three-person show. I have like about seven paintings in it, and some of them were very new, still wet. And because of that, my studio was partially cleared out. And when I was back in the studio, instead of starting new work, I decided to attack these two big paintings that hadn't made the cut, basically, that were sitting here purportedly finished, but there was couldn't quite figure out why they didn't fully work for me. So in the studio right now, I'm basically doing two things. I put these two paintings back on the wall, on this sort of newly vacated wall space, and I'm attacking them and I'm letting myself beat them to death in a way. And then on the other hand, I'm doing these you know, much smaller watercolors that are almost freeform. And I'm letting creatures emerge somewhat spontaneously out of pools of colored pigment. And so they're really different bodies of work.
So let's talk about how different that is,
yeah.
Because it's different. Your work carries, you know, narratives and seemingly messages. This sounds like a very different direction. Is there a narrative or a kind of story to it the way there are in some of your previous works?
You mean specifically the watercolors?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think I'm always torn between how much I want to impose on the work. I mean, my work ends up feeling pretty narrative in the end, but a lot of the imagery comes out of my process. So I may start with a somewhat formed idea, but it's usually dismantled and eradicated at some point, and then different stuff happens during the course of the painting. In these watercolors, I'm just really starting with nothing, and I think it's, but you know, they do end up being representational, and maybe.
And the larger works. What about the larger works that you're making?
The larger works. Well, look, I suppose my elevator pitch is, you know, for the works that I've been doing the last maybe 4 or 5 years, is that, I make these painterly paintings that. That are usually inhabited by unreliable narrators in unsettling situations. But I like the work to also be unsettling formally. And that's sort of what usually ends up happening. And that feels like an expansive enough description of what goes on, because I think sometimes sometimes as a figurative painter, it's weird. You end up being the person who paints this or the person who paints that. And I'm not that interested in that, especially since I work in series and it can look like that or it can feel like that. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, so let's talk about the last series. Would the last series be from the show, The Hauntings, the three-person show that you were just discussing that opened on February 29th but closed shortly thereafter? Was that from, that was from a series, correct?
Yeah, maybe it was, I wouldn't say it was the end point of a series, but.
So tell me a little bit about that series, because there may be images of that in the interview here or link also to
yeah.
more images, but let's talk about
yeah.
you know, what was in that series, what was happening there.
You know, I think my series tend to morph into one another. So, for instance, you know, for quite a while I was painting these paintings that were based on big rough collars, you know, that you might see in Dutch masterworks.
Right, like those collars. El Greco collars, those kind of.
Yes, yes. But I let them morph into UFOs, or they became something else. And then at one point they became roofs because they became these collapsed roofs, you know, and spoke about displacement and migration, et cetera, for complicated reasons. My husband's family is from a little village on the island of Samos in Greece. This is one of the islands where the refugees have gone. And so we do go there a lot. And, you know, somehow that the roof came, our neighbor's roof had collapsed. There were a lot of collapsed roofs. And that's what the collar became. And then eventually, this is strange, but then eventually the inside of the roof became this Gulliver figure. I often let figure and ground kind of reverse themselves, and this just happens in the painting process. And then I started to think about Gulliver as a protagonist, and I ended up making a painting, or a painting, one painting became another painting, and it became turned into a Gulliver that was surrounded by these Lilliputian houses. Basically, it had been a roof that was floating over a village, but when I let the, and then the roof became an umbrella, and then I painted the outside, and somehow the spokes of the umbrella became ropes that tied Gulliver down. And
so you mean it didn't start out this way, but then it's turning into what looks like an image
of
Gulliver.
It started out actually as a collar, as a huge collar floating over a village. Then the collar became this collapsed roof, you know, that wasn't holding anything up. And then the roof became a large looming umbrella. And then I ended up painting, letting the innards of the umbrella, the inside of the umbrella, become the body of a figure by painting the outside. And then Gulliver became this sort of weird Gulliver that dropped to the ground, and the little houses that were in, you know, in the distance, because it was a bird's eye view initially, became Lilliputian rather than distant. And after that point, I just started thinking about, you know, my pretext became just injecting large incidents or figures or whatnot into villages or landscapes, you know, as interferences. But I wanted to keep that very broad, and the protagonists changed. Sometimes they were Pinocchio, sometimes they were Gumbies. I know that sounds like a large playing field, but that's what happened.
No, it doesn't. Yeah, the Gumbies, which I've seen them often, you know, you don't realize right away that they are Gumbies. But these are
These
are all kind of alien figures or something.
Yeah, well, you know what's funny? The Gumby, this is really weird, and it's very hard to describe when the painting isn't in front of you. But the Gumby, it's not that I'm so interested in Americana and pop culture per se. It's just you know, when I was painting these roofs, and this was pretty brief, the central tiles of this Mediterranean tile roof that had collapsed that I was painting, but the central tiles looked like a splay-legged figure, but it looked like a splay-legged geometric figure, which looked like a Gumby. And so I just turned the central tiles without really changing their shape into a Gumby on one painting. And that, you know, just by painting them green and adding eyes and a mouth, you know, that's all I had to do. And that sort of gave me permission to include Gumby as my cast of characters, in my cast of characters.
That's so interesting.
This was a while ago. So I guess it's not that different from my watercolors in that way.
And so now you're in New York, you're in the financial district, and you've we're in the middle of the pandemic. How is this, you know, your work, even what you're describing, you know, there's unsettling aspects to it, and of course now we're all in this space that's quite unsettled. Is that, or how is that affecting your work at this time?
Well, you know, as I said, I've got these two paintings that I'm looking at right now, and neither of them satisfied me. And it's been really, you know, it's been fun going back into them. And there's no deadline. There's nothing in front of me. You know, there's this sort of strange tabula rasa in terms of the art world and what have you. And so one of them is just these giant Gulliver legs coming out of a little village. It's a little garden village. Again, that references the village in Greece that my husband's family's from. And an artist was making a studio visit right before the lockdown, Lainey Nemet, and she felt that the sky needed some variation up top. So basically, like a day or two after PACE, where I teach, switched to remote learning, I started to inject these sort of maroonish storm clouds up above, and then began to fill them with cherubs. And you know, so it's really over the top and kind of excessive, but it was fun, and I felt like I was channeling Lisa Yuskevich and Pontormo, and you know, and I could be as fussy as I wanted to be and as ridiculous as I wanted to be with it. And then in the other this other big painting I have, again, it went through all kinds of transformations. I started it about 3 years ago. It was a huge figure cast, you didn't see the figure, but there was a huge cast shadow over this little village. I called it Darkness at the Edge of Town at the time. And I showed it, and then when it came back, didn't like it, somehow took the cast shadow out and injected this big turquoise pig instead. He had become one of my characters, and he's based on a little, you know, plaster black pick I have I picked up somewhere. I tend to have a lot of still life objects around that I use. I like working from life too. But anyway, so now the pig was floating over the village, and since the lockdown, the village has in a sense swallowed the pig. So it's formally much more interesting to me. I mean, the figure-ground relationships are much more complicated, and you know, whatever. So I'm doing this, and I'm fussing with these pieces. But then the watercolors, and I don't do watercolors that often, are extremely. I mean, I feel like they're, you know, I think both bodies of work reflect aspects maybe of the pandemic or my relationship to it, to being home during this sheltering in place, because the watercolors seem to be about being in the moment, and they're very transitory and very much like, what can I find in this aqueous world? Like what might come up? And they're pretty quick. Whereas the paintings, I love the idea that there's no end in sight to these two paintings, that they just exist. And that also seems very much to reflect my feelings or everybody's feelings about what's going on.
Absolutely, yeah, I like that. That's an interesting way of putting it. And I want to also ask you one more question, which is, what are you reading at the moment? I'm always curious what everybody's reading.
It's funny, I'm reading two books, and again, they're so different. One is Richard Powers' Overstory, which, you know, since I'm really, you know, I am cooped up, makes me long for nature. And then just finished Eleanor Hartney's Doomsday Dreams, which is the apocalyptic imagination in contemporary art.
Barbara, I want to thank you so much for talking with me today. It's really been a pleasure hearing about your work. I wish you the best in your studio.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Brainerd.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.